Yes. Good morning. We are in week number three. And the topic for this week is configuration management, first part, where we start using Puppet. I published a news which I hope you've seen that in 3 weeks there's an exam. And the exam will consist of what we have covered so far and what we cover today, the language of Puppet, the composition of Puppet modules and how Puppet modules work, and DNS. These are the topics that will be covered on the midterm exam. And the really hard part about this is Puppet modules. So we did the introduction to using an OpenStack cloud. We did orchestration last week. And this week we're going to learn the basics of Puppet. And all these things I consider quite easy. It's not very hard, and you probably don't find this course very hard so far. But next week, you really have to work. So be prepared, read, study, and plan on spending quite some time on the lab and exercises. Meaning as soon as you complete this week's lab, move on to next week's. So start reading before next week. Please don't wait till after next Thursday by reading these documents. Because this is what you sort of have to read and think about. It's not difficult, it's just that there are quite a number of things that you have to learn. So you have to spend some time on it. Okay, so we will be learning the language of Puppet today. Then we'll learn about Puppet modules. Then we will start using Puppet in a master agent setup. Then we'll have the exam, and then we will introduce the proper workflow with moving Puppet code in a version-controlled repository. Mapping branches to testing environments, doing the real thing. So the next 5 weeks, see there are 2 weeks here. We have the exam on Thursday, and then we start up with the environment on Friday and spend the next Thursday, Friday as well. So the next 5 weeks is learning to use configuration management with Puppet in a professional way. Maybe you remember those of you who were part of the road trip to Oslo in last year. We visited Mnemonic and Sopra Steria. And when we visited Mnemonic, we talked to the guy who was in charge of IT operations at Mnemonic. And he said that they had two data centers, they had about 450 Linux servers and about 70-80 Windows servers. And then he said, if you, I hope you remember maybe, the Linux servers are no problem, we just give them a puppet role. That was basically what he said. And that's true. So if you know how to, and you can do the same thing on Windows, it's just a little bit harder. We'll try to do that as well. But when you do proper configuration management with the right setup, and usually this is based on Puppet in combination with some other languages maybe, it's quite easy to manage a large number of servers. You can easily make it scale. And they managed like 500 servers, and I think there were 3 or 4 people in the team. Yeah. So if you do things the right way, it will scale. That's the lesson here. So, first part is learning the language of Puppet. When you use Puppet, you should roughly do the following. Let me... that I only have my this network right. Yep. So let's SSH to sky high. Log in and reconnect to my working session. Remember, use screen. Because then you don't have to source your credentials every time. You know, you can just restore your current working session. So I go back to my current working session, which is here. Just check that that I have my credentials are okay. Nope. Here I am a different user. Here I am. So, Control-A-N for switching between different screen sessions. And then so when I finish working, I do Control-A-D to detach. Then I can log out, log back in, and do this to get back. Yeah. Okay. So, let's see, I did some time an OpenStack stack create, didn't I? By the way, you will get sample solutions for all labs and problems. And I was supposed to publish them this morning. I forgot about that. So you will get the sample solutions for labs and problems later today for the first 2 weeks. Okay, looks like this went okay. What I did now was the lab from previous week. So I just launched a new stack with 2 servers. I really don't need 2 servers, but I just reused this now. And so this should be server 1 and server 2. If I do an OpenStack server list, I should have 2 server 1 and server 2, and they should be assigned a floating IP. Yeah, so I have server 1 with this floating IP. And if I'm lucky, this has completed booting, and I should be able to SSH to this with a floating IP. Yes. So, when you're going to test things with Puppet and work on learning Puppet, today we're going to use a special virtual machine. I'll show you that later. But when you do just exercises for yourself, just fire up a heat stack. Do something, and then destroy it. Yeah. So, whenever I need to just practice something with Puppet, because when you do things with Puppet, you're doing system configuration changes. Sometimes they are harmless, but you really want to try out things. You want to try to create users and create files in different parts of the system, etc. So it's nice to just create a virtual machine, do any kind of crazy stuff you want, and then destroy it. Yeah. And normally you run Puppet as root, because if you want to do system changes, you have to be root. So when you create a virtual machine, you can do just apt-get install Puppet. But if you do that, you get an older version of Puppet, and you get Puppet version 3. And in principle, we can use Puppet version 3. But now there's Puppet version 4 that has some more features and some more restrictions. So I recommend that what you always do when you want to start using Puppet, just go to the lab exercises and install Puppet version 4. The way you do that is, see in the lab exercises, if you see next week, install the most recent version of Puppet on the server. What you do, whenever you start a new virtual machine and you want Puppet version 4, run these commands. And to copy and paste these, this is why I've included always the tech file here, the source file for this. So it's easier to copy and paste. So, let's see, I can list these three. So, sudo minus s to become root. I download this package from Puppet Labs, and then I install it. And what this package, this does not install Puppet. This just installs the source repository for Puppet version 4. So if I do an apt-get update now, of course I've already sudo, so I don't know. When I do an apt-get update now, you see that the packages available at this repository at apt-puppetlabs.com become available through apt-get. So now I can apt-get install Puppet 4. And in Puppet 4, it's not called, we just want the actual Puppet agent now. And it's called Puppet agent in Puppet 4. In Puppet 3, it's just called Puppet. So we install this. Puppet version 4, Puppet is much more self-contained in one part of the directory tree in the slash opt directory. So we need also to include that in the path if we want to avoid writing slash opt slash puppet labs slash bin slash puppet anytime we're going to run Puppet. I'll show you in a second. Yeah. Sometime takes sometimes takes a little bit of time. Yep. By the way, anyone else needs a patch cable? I can get more of them if... Huh? So if I try to run Puppet now... It's not installed. Because... Everything is installed in Opt Puppet Labs... bin puppet. And I don't want to type this every time. So that's why I included this. Export your path like this. So if I say that my path should be equal to what it used to be, but add this directory to the path. Then I can say Puppet version. You see, I'm on Puppet version 4. I think you can probably just copy paste all these commands in one step. So, you know, fire up a HeatStack, log in, become root, copy paste these, and then you're good to go with Puppet version 4. So this is in, these lines are from next week's exercise in the document. So then you're ready to run Puppet. So what? The question everybody wonders. What does Hello World look like in Puppet? So I should write some Puppet code. And a file with Puppet code is called a manifest. So let me create a Puppet manifest. And I usually call that .pp. Like this. And when you're just writing a script in Puppet that should be used locally on the server, what you do is, for Puppet to apply code, you need to define on which host this should be applied. So when you just want to write some code and apply locally, then you always say node default, and then you have a block of code in here. Default means on any node, wherever I run this script, it will be executed. And the simplest thing in Puppet is to say notify. Hello world, like this. This is called a resource. This is the notify resource. This would normally be a file, a user, a scheduled task, an access control list, a software package, something like this. But this is just to use the notify resource to output something. Then I can say Puppet parser validate to see if my syntax is okay. This warning here, this is what I mentioned in the beginning of the lab document, that whenever you start a server, if you want, here, every now and then get the Perl locale error. So if I run these two commands, this error will disappear. I can do that, by the way. So... will... Yeah, now it doesn't complain. And if the Puppet parser validates does not detect any problems, then my syntax is okay. So if you just want to check your syntax, you do Puppet parser validate. So let me run this. And you can run Puppet in two modes. Either you just want to apply the code you've written, or you do it in a professional setup with a master server which you download from and execute as a Puppet agent. And that's what we'll be start doing in two weeks. Yeah. But for now, we just want to do Puppet, apply. Hello? And Puppet says hello world. So when you run Puppet, Puppet compiles a catalog and then executes anything in that catalog. Let's see. Maybe you remember that in the first week, looks like I might be running out of batteries, or I'm not running out of batteries, but my microphone is running out of batteries. So do let me know if you don't hear my voice on the speakers anymore, because then I have to run and get some batteries. So I showed you in week one that when you create users, you would typically have script like this. You know that you have a loop that reads users and passwords from a file, and then you can print this document, and I can give you a piece of paper that this is your username and password, or I can give them to you in Fronter like I did. And then I feed this file into a bash loop, which then takes the plain text password, creates the encrypted password, and runs the command user add like this. This is the classical imperative way of doing things. Programming with a focus on the algorithm on how you do it. But now we're going to switch the way we think. Instead of focusing on how to do it, we're going to go back to the 80s and the thinking behind the programming language Prolog, which was kind of popular in the 80s. Anyone heard of Prolog? It was a language used for programming logic, especially popular in artificial intelligence. So it's probably coming back soon now that everyone is talking about artificial intelligence again. So Prolog was a declarative language, meaning instead of writing down how you do stuff, you write down what you want to achieve. So instead of writing this algorithm, I will write down what I want to achieve. So I say that there should be a user, there should be a group like this, there should be a user like this, and there should be a file like this. And then Puppet will do anything necessary for this to be created. So this is a resource, the Puppet resource group, the Puppet resource user, the Puppet resource file. And when you start doing these things, when you start writing Puppet code, you will quite quickly see that Somebody must have done this before. I mean, this is something that's done all the time. So, and that's right, don't figure out right things manually yourself if you can reuse something that's good. And Puppet has one very nice way, that anything that exists on the system that you want to describe and put in your Puppet code, you can ask Puppet to generate it for you. So if I want to know, okay, I want to make sure that on all my servers, the software package Vim is installed. How would I write the Puppet code for that? What you can do, by the way, do I have Vim? Yeah. So I want to make sure. What you can do is you can say Puppet resource package Vim. This is Puppet code for ensuring that this version of Vim is installed on a server. And you can do this. Okay, I want to make sure that the Ubuntu user exists. Then I would say user. This is the Puppet code for ensuring that this exact that describes exactly how the Ubuntu user is set up. So you do this a lot to get the basics of the Puppet code, and then you make some changes. Because probably you want this user, but with some changes. For instance, this doesn't say anything about managing the home directory, where it says that the home should be like this. But maybe you want to do something else. Then you go to the reference. So, this I've included here, the type reference. Here are all the Puppet resources that you can create. So, I want to create a user. Go here, user. This is anything you can specify about the user and with the description. So this is a really, really important reference for you. This is the where you should go to look any kind of syntax, anything you can state about a resource in Puppet. These are my lecture notes for today. Where we are heading. What we have done so far previous in the program, and whenever you've done some system administration, all of you have done some system administration. You've installed software. Maybe you've created a user. And whenever you do these things, you do platform-specific things. You know that creating users, that's different on Windows and on Linux. If you want to set an access control list on a file, access control is different on Windows and on Linux. If you're going to install software, that's different on Linux and on Windows. It's also different on different versions of Linux. So if you're from the Red Hat world, you probably use YUM packet management. If you're from the Debian world, you probably use apt package management. So there are a whole lot of platform-specific differences. And the goal of Puppet is to abstract away these differences. So I just want one clean language to specify anything. So I can say that I want the package Vim installed, and it should be installed on Linux, and it should be installed on Windows, with the same Puppet code. This is what we ideally want, but then we usually have to compensate a little bit. Sometimes this works very well. Sometimes you have to say that also in Puppet that you have to do things a little bit differently on Windows versus Linux. But the focus in Puppet has mostly been on making sure that you can write the same Puppet code for all kinds of Linux distributions. That it shouldn't matter that much if it's Red Hat or Debian. So we have these Puppet resources. The goal is to abstract away the platform specifics. Then you see that people do the same things. Like you will get an exercise maybe to install MySQL or MySQL or whatever you choose to call it, MySQL. And then you start figuring out how to do it and write your code for that, writing all the manifests, and it becomes quite a lot of code to install it and configure it and make sure that the service is running, etc. But of course, the rest of the world is installing MySQL using Puppet as well. So you don't do that. You go and find an official Puppet module that does everything to install MySQL. So modules are general reusable components that combine a lot of Puppet resources into bigger tasks, but they should be simple, dedicated tasks. So you shouldn't have a module that says create everything needed for a WordPress installation. No, you should have a module that does MySQL, you should have a module that does Nginx, you should have a module that creates the WordPress instance in Nginx, something like that. But modules, this is why Puppet, to a large extent, why Puppet has become so successful. I should say that there is a wonderful alternative to Puppet. There are several alternatives to Puppet, but there is one wonderful alternative, which is also the sort of the inspiration for Puppet and the originator for proper configuration management. And we have to talk a little bit about that because it's Norwegian. So in Oslo, there's a quite brilliant professor called Mark Burgess. Well, he used to be a professor. Now he works full-time with CF Engine. He created CF Engine in 1996 or something, at least in the middle of the 90s. He created the language of CF Engine to be this abstraction to remove the platform specifics and have a declarative language for defining system configuration. So CF Engine is more than 20 years old. It's a really nice system. And I used to teach it in this course up until 4 years ago. And then I switched to Puppet. Not because I dislike CF Engine. CF Engine is a wonderful system. But Puppet has become more popular. And the reason Puppet has become more popular is because they got the model of reusability correct from the beginning. And CF Engine didn't quite get the same community to contribute code. They didn't have the setup to allow for code reuse in the same way as Puppet. That's my theory, that Puppet has become a little bit more popular now. But there's a lot of companies that use CF Engine and will keep using CF Engine, and there are new companies using CF Engine. So you might end up working with CF Engine instead of Puppet. But it shouldn't be very hard for you to switch from CF Engine to Puppet. Or switch from Puppet to CF Engine. Yeah. And by the way, CF Engine in Oslo is also a wonderful place to work, and some of you might end up working there. Are for reuse, and then what we're going to do is that you combine these modules, for instance, like I mentioned, the WordPress example. Anything you do to create a web application or a web server with a dedicated task, you would create a profile that combines WordPress, Nginx, MySQL into one specific profile. And then you probably want to have this, a server should have this profile, but then it should probably also have the profile of being a monitoring agent. It should be part of your monitoring system, so it should maybe have a monitoring profile, and you know, between 2 and 5, 6 different kinds of profiles a server would typically have to be fully functional. So you combine these profiles into one role, and when you launch a server, you give it one role. This is what Henrik at Mnemonic meant, that nah, I just launched Linux servers with a Puppet role. And then a role consists of profiles. A profile is composed of modules, but roles and profiles are also modules, which is why it's really important that you really understand what a module is and how this works. So this is where we're heading. But for now, this week, let's learn the language of Puppet and then quickly move on to what a Puppet module is. So what we do now? We should start up with the lab exercise, and as I already mentioned, as soon as you have completed this week's lab exercise, of course, look at the problems as well. I've given you some simple Puppet programming exercises, which will prepare you for the exam. But quickly move on to reading about modules. And by that, of course, I mean the links in Fronter. So there's a beginner's guide to modules. And there's some module fundamentals. There's a Puppet language style guide. And there's a blog post about how you create modules. The style guide and this blog post, you don't have to read them immediately. Read the beginner's guide and the module fundamentals first. And you're going to create the module. I'm going to give you some code, and you're going to write a module from scratch. And the way you're supposed to do that is based on these two links. Because these have examples that describes an example module, exactly how you do it, and then you should take the code you get from me and create a module for that code based on the examples in here. Okay, so back to this week's exercise. I haven't found, as you probably noticed, there's no video for this week. I haven't found any good introduction to Puppet that just focuses on the language They just jump quickly into the whole master agent setup and all the sort of rather complex aspects immediately. So the only way to get started, which is also an excellent way, is to use the official learning virtual machine from Puppet Labs, which will guide you through all parts of the Puppet language in a very nice way. So I say launch the Puppet Learning VM called Puppet Learning VM 2016.2.05.3 in Sky High. You will find it in Glance. So let me log out. So if you do an OpenStack image list, you should see that there's a Puppet Learning VM here. I should delete this. This is the one we used last year. There's not that much difference, but the new one is based on Puppet 4. Then you can go to the lab exercise. How do we create? A virtual machine. I do an OpenStack server create. This is what we did in the first week. OpenStack server create, and the image should be this here. So OpenStack server create, and the image should be the learning VM. And I need a flavor, which is, what are the flavors called again? M1.medium. Yep, flavor M1.medium. Then we need to connect this to a network. I can connect this to, let's see, can put it on this network, which is can I say just net one? Yeah, I suspect it does. It's well, at least it's. Net one. Net ID. That's right. Net one. The key name. My key is. Oh, I don't need the key name, by the way. Because this, I'm going to log in with username and password. By the way, let's see what. Yeah. So this. should be okay. So we should start this and do everything you're asked to do in the chapter resources, manifests, classes, modules, NTP, MySQL, variables and parameters, etc. of the quest guide. So the quest guide is available in the VM itself, or if you don't want to do that, what's probably easier is to go to the quest guide on GitHub, which is here. So this is what I mean, read the resources here. This says everything you should do, read and execute the commands that are here. This should take you like 4 to 5 hours to complete, and then you should know basically anything you need about the basics of Puppet. So let me just spend a few minutes into the break to complete this. So did this boot okay? Yeah, Puppet is here. What do I need to do now? Yeah, floating IP. So, but we have that from the exercises in the first week as well, don't we? That we can create a floating IP. Yep, here is how I create a floating IP. Create a floating IP. And my server name is Puppet. How do I associate a floating IP with a server? Like this. Okay. IP floating list. So I have this 211 was the one I received now, probably. Yeah. Wait. It was 172.16.7.211. 7.211. And the instance name is Puppet. And the floating IP was 172.16.7.211. Like this. Can I SSH to it now? As root. I suddenly feel that I should have tried this morning. That's true. Because the password isn't Puppet anymore. This in the lab exercise, right? Log into the learning VM with SSH as root, but you need to access the console in Horizon to see the password on the page. But can you access the console? If you connect by VPN, right? So what we need to do... Yes, And but is that the same that is shown? It's not the same that... No. Yeah. Okay, and... wait. My networking applet isn't showing, but I can... I think I can do this. VPN. Like this. I should be on the VPN now, then we can go here. With my luck, I probably have to log in again. No, I should be here, and the learning VM is this one, open console, and yes, it works. So here you will see, so idabel.ovapa, idabel.ovapa, of course I lost my connection now, but again, I lost my connection, it's no problem because I was using screen. So then it's very easy to just reconnect. And then detach, reattach, and I'm back. So the password was idabel.ovapa. Yeah, open terminal failed, missing or unsuitable terminal, which I've also told you how to fix in... I know you're getting bored now, we're done in 1 minute. So if you get an error logging in due to terminal settings, try just say export term equals xterm. And then idabel.ovapa. Yeah, now we're in. And then you go through all these steps, follow this, run this. So the first thing, quest, begin the exploration of resources. So let me start the first quest, begin resources. And then I read this, and the first thing I should do is to run this command. And you will see at the bottom here that I completed one of the four tasks in this quest. And this is your goal now, complete this entire quest for learning Puppet. And some might be a little bit boring, some might be very exciting, but try to complete everything, because then you should have a good understanding of how Puppet works. Okay, sorry for taking too many minutes into the break, but let's break for 15 minutes, and then continue with this. Okay, if so to access the console, you need to use VPN. Has anybody gotten the NTNU VPN to work for accessing the console? Meaning, are you using the connecting to SSL VPN? Or are you connecting to vpn.stud. Yes. Because the SSL VPN is not working yet. Okay, Lars-Erik from IT, he will be here soon and I'll talk to him about it. But I just remember that, of course, I have administrator access in OpenStack, so I can access the console of any instance. So to get your password, just, let's see. Yeah, to get your password, give your Puppet Learning VM a floating IP and come to me with that floating IP and I will access the console and give you the password. Yeah? You could? Excellent. Then everyone go to... okay, so try to access the console then. And if it's not a problem, then it's not a problem. But if you want to get the password and get the from me, then come to me with the floating IP. Okay, just to clarify about console access. So the problem is that to get console access, you need to be on the old Gjøvik University College VPN. And that works for the second and third year students that still have the old accounts. But for the international students and for any first year students this year, this does not work because you only have the new NTNU account. And the VPN setup for NTNU is not set up correctly for everything on Gjøvik campus yet. But this is really, you shouldn't have to use VPN when you're on the network. But the reason you have to use VPN is because of a slight misunderstanding that we're using console on port 99. And the range that's open, which would not require VPN, stops at 298, which is partly my fault. So Lars-Erik, who was here, he's going to try to just switch this port from 299 to 298. And so hopefully, maybe by tomorrow, it will just work and you don't have to use VPN to access console. But as I said, I'm administrator, so I have access to any instance running in OpenStack, so I can access the console for you. So if you need to see the password, just come see me with your floating IP, and then I can identify the instance and view the console.